Welcome to the King's Road podcast. I am your host, the Aries Justin Yance, and I am here with
Christopher the Ross Dibash.
Christopher the Ross Dibash. So here we go. We're talking some wrestling. I got a special guest here, and this is going to be great. So we're going to start with AEW.
Yes.
So I think we're going to run through this. The first match on AEW show was Jeff Hardy versus Bobby Fish in the Owen Hart qualifying match. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of this match?
Can I call it paint by numbers? Am I allowed to say paint by numbers?
For absolutely. Jeff Hardy I felt it was slow. It was kind of plodding.
I think that Bobby Fish is a really, really talented wrestler that has been a victim of the laziness that he was able to have in WWE/NXT, whatever we're going to call them, at this point in time.
Yeah.
But he was also riddled with a really bunch of bad injuries during that time. And I think he's lost a step. He's had some really, really great matches in AEW since joining. But for Jeff, he just looks slow. Like there's, am I happy that he's an AEW?
Yeah, I love that he's
absolutely.
There.
Am I happy that him and Matt are probably going to finish their careers as the Hardy Boys in AEW, where they can have matches with the Young Bucks and all these amazing tag teams that they have? Yes. Getting back to this match, it was paint by numbers for me. You know, this poor guy has been screwing up his body for so long, and you can finally see now.
It doesn't look like he can do the Swanton Bomb anymore.
I was just about to get there too, and I was, you literally took the words out of my mouth. For those of the listeners that don't know, Justin and I just met, and we've really found out that we share a lot of the very similar thoughts and have almost.
But here, let me talk. Yeah, we've met, and we share most of the same opinions, and we're just gonna talk some wrestling here. So
yeah.
This is
that's where I'm at with him. Like, the poor guy. Like, do you remember when Jeff used to hit that Swanton and it looked like he was legit just going to land on his neck every single time, and then found that way just at the last moment to just turn it into
that
a Swanton?
That takes a toll. It takes a toll on you.
And it's just not there anymore. And it's just not there for him anymore.
Jeff has never been, he was conditioned well because he was young. He wasn't really conditioned well because he trained for it. Like, he's not like Mr. Perfect, Bret Hart, Brian Danielson.
I mean, he did all of his Kobashi. Training on a freaking trampoline in his backyard.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, he couldn't, so I don't think he's somebody that, like, I don't know. If I was him, I would be talking to Danielson and be like, look, I'm getting, how should I proceed?
Right. What should I do now? Like, what should
I do? Sting is somebody who is able to slow down.
No, don't even still get me started on Sting. I am amazed that that man is doing all the shit that he is doing. I'm sorry.
He's better than he was in the. He's better. No, you can curse. You can curse.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if
this
I could curse.
This is a curse free. Yeah, you curse.
Perfect.
I don't want you to say every single word a curse, but you know, hey, it's up. It's fine. So,
So
we agree. This match was, paint by numbers, but it's great to have them both there. So we're moving on. Blackpool Combat Club, it's a mouthful to say, versus the Butcher, the Blade, and Angelico. Or as Cornette would say, the Butcher, the Blade, and the Candlestick.
The Butcher, the Blade, and the Candlestick. Don't even get, Angelico is such a weird wrestler for me. That's another conversation. I love seeing what they've done with Wheeler Yuta.
That is a guy who got over with matches.
So here's the deal. This is what I like about Moxley and Danielson at this point in time, it is they just get it. They get their job. They know what they're doing. Bryan Danielson can go out there and he can have a banger at this point in time with anybody. John Moxley can get out there and throw himself around through glass, but he can also go, right? Yeah. And so what they're doing is that they're taking this kid and now it's like they're elevating people. And that's this match.
They're getting the rub with yep. That's how you get somebody the rub. One thing do you think the Blackpool Combat Club should add more people? Should they add a woman like Serena?
Do you think that they should change their name? is what we should really do. I don't know, because if rumors are true with a trios group, I think having the Blackpool Combat Circus Club. Blackpool Combat Club, having them stay a trio with William Regal in their corner is a smart thing to do. Should they add a woman? Yes, but no, because unfortunately the women in AEW aren't getting a chance to shine as much as they can.
I think though Serena would work because she's got that
got that hard edge. Yeah, and she's a workhorse. And she's got the background too, being what she, you know, she used to be a trainer, you know, so there's that too. I don't think that's a bad idea. This match itself.
What do you think of the match?
I just love seeing them just beat the shit out of you. Like, I don't know.
They're kind of like the Road Warriors, where you just want to see them kill people.
It's so brutal to me, like the handheld stomps and like. Something about Bryan Danielson's triangle choke that makes me go crazy. I don't know. It's just. I think they're good. I think it's a good match. I think 8 minutes. What was it like? 8-9 minutes was.
This was maybe just a. This wasn't a competitive match. This is just a match to show.
It's a showcase.
It's a showcase. It's building up. I gotta believe. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably facing Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and I think that's where they get the titles.
I would like to see that. I also like. I think Butcher and Blade are really sort of underrated. I think that was it them? Didn't they have? Weren't they part of like one of the big, huge like stadium brawls that they had?
I don't think they had. They were part of the stadium. Well, I don't know. They might have. No.
So where does Angelico fit into this though? Like where? Like how in the hell did the
they
like
said that
Butcher
they,
Blade like?
They said that Angelico and who's the other person that's Angelico's tags with?
Jack Evans.
Yeah,
Jack Evans is.
Oh yeah, Jack Evans is gone. Yeah, he's gone.
He's like stuck in Mexico or something.
I think Angelico and I think they're going to be like kind of a team, like a trios now. I think they said something off comment there, but yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the stomps. Like the way Danielson does the stomps here is so much better than he did in WWE.
Yeah.
It just feels so much more violent.
Everything that he's doing in AEW is just better than what he was doing.
Well, remember he told Vince, he said, I just really want to be able to bleed. He says, well, I can't help you there, pal.
Right. Right. Like first of all, they're back to calling it a bicycle knee, which is great.
Yeah.
Instead of the running knee, but I, I look at that match that him and him and Suzuki had, and the way that he got that knee, I was like, that's what we're missing. Like that's what we've, that was the fire. That was the Daniel Bryan that I wanted. I'm just happy to see that. But yeah, that's my thoughts on the Blackpool Combat Club is very much the fact of like, let's make this kid a star.
Gotta believe Brian Danielson's probably facing at Forbidden Door as ex-Saber. That's gotta be the guy he's been wanting to face for a long time.
I'm telling you though, there are so many, we'll get into that. We'll get into Forbidden Door.
I don't think this is the last of Forbidden Door. I think this is going to be a yearly thing.
It's got it. Forbidden Door. I think they're just going to open the floodgates at this point in time. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So let's move on. So now we got Wardlow versus the mystery opponent who became 7 feet tall, William Morrissey, and you can't teach that.
So I was shocked, like shocked at how good he is. Like how, like not, I'm not, and I'm not talking Wardlow right now. I'm talking like,
yeah,
I'm talking Morrissey, W Morrissey, Big Cass. I like, what am I supposed to call him? I'll call him Morrissey. Just makes me feel like I'm referring to the band at this point in time. If I call him Morrissey, but he's jacked.
He's been jacked for a while now.
And like, I know that he went through, there was a huge transformation that he went through when he got let go, and he had
real problems with alcohol,
mental, like there was a lot of things that were going on there, and he just looked amazing, like so much to the fact I think I read something this morning that said like he turned heads in WWE again. Like they looked. What's really funny is,
but people are saying that
who he is.
But they're saying that's probably bullshit coming out. You know that like they're just cut up because they said the same thing about FTR being interested, WWE being interested in FTR, and it's like that ended up being bullshit. They want FTR is just so that they AEW doesn't have them, which is not gonna be good.
I loved Morrissey's response to the crowd chanting for Enzo. I thought that was classic. I'm gonna hate to say this. I don't get Wardlow. I don't get him. I think he's talented. I think for his size and his stature, he is agile as hell. I think he gives a good power game. The crowd is going nuts over him.
Yeah.
I don't get why.
Because he's Batista. It's Batista in 05.
Okay.
He is Batista in 05.
Okay.
It's him getting away from Triple H, and they built it up, and you could see it, and I bet that's the template for it. Problem is, you can't really have MJF like lose 3 straight like you did with Triple H. Because MJF is still being established.
Yeah.
Like, I think he probably has to lose this match because he's got to get his freedom.
Yep.
I think
ability, amazing, power, great. We can't really call it a powerbomb symphony if he's only going to powerbomb him once.
Apparently that was political. Impact didn't want him to get like just destroyed like that because he's a kind of a top guy in
that's
Impact.
Right.
I get that.
Powerbombing him.
I think MJF, I know that was amazing to see 7 feet tall. And I think MJF, his perfect opponent, is probably going to be, I would put him with like Tanahashi at Forbidden Door, if you can do it. Because the clean guy, he's got a lot that he can make fun of. Ooh. Tanahashi with.
Oh,
you know?
You look know, he could
be like, oh, it's the ace of Japan. Yeah,
right.
He's never done anything wrong except for being in a movie called I Am a Heel Wrestler. Like, there's so much he could do. Like, they can, like, you know, he could be like yelling at Tanahashi, and Tanahashi could go on the mic and go, I don't speak English.
Right. I love that. Oh, man.
Like, this stuff. He would be perfect for Okada as well, but Okada, he's either Facing Punk or somebody.
I am not. MJF Okada doesn't intrigue me as much as an MJF Tanahashi would, I think. So that's
I think Tanahashi, there's so you got the baby face versus the superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good way. And Tanahashi can lose to him. Because Tanahashi's not, you know, he can, and that's how you can kind of rebuild. Because then MJF can get away, because if he's going to lose to Wardlow, he needs to win his next match, his next feud.
And then, at that point in time we're jumping ahead a little bit, but is Tanahashi still going to be the U.S. champ at that point in time? Because that could be
another thing. That'd be a good title for him to come in and be like, you know, MJF could come in there and be like, all you New Japan fans, how do you feel now? I got your belt.
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, you could film like vignettes of him like, yeah, I use it as a doorstop.
Oh, God.
And it's like show him like, you know, just put the belt and be like, yeah, I just throw the belt. You know, I use it as a blanket, you know. Hey, do you need a Kleenex? Here's the title.
Here's the IWGP US title.
Like, he could do what Naito is doing. But anyways, yes, I thought this was a nice match. It builds to Wardlow. In Long Island, they're back in Long Island where MJF will be cheered.
Yeah.
And they're going to do the contract signing of him and Wardlow. So, like, what is the thing going to be? Like,
exactly.
You can use the power bomb, but it has to be like 20 minutes into the match because we know you have no stamina.
Right. Yeah. So what is it going to be? What is the stiff going to be?
Or he could say something like, I can tag in and out and I can bring in as many partners as I want.
Right.
He'll bring in like some guy. You know.
I will be very interested to see MJF's reaction next week. He's like, he's so good. Oh, God.
He's somebody who got so much out of the Punk program.
Yep.
Like, Punk got him more over.
Yep.
Anybody that says Punk isn't getting guys over, like, you just look at that feud. When I look at MJF, I see a top guy now.
He's the most detestable person. That he's like one of the most natural heels at this point in time, but like, man, he's that heel that makes you laugh.
Rock. He's gonna be Rock when he gets out, like, but let him have the heel run first
before you turn him.
But he's gonna be Rock. He's gonna get people chanting his catchphrases.
Yeah,
very easily. I can see it so well. It's like
back to that match. I think both of them ended up coming out looking great. Yeah, like, and more than and Morrissey, like,
doesn't hurt him.
It doesn't hurt him at all. I don't. I think that there is probably better people that they could have brought, but you know, still good. I like way to get yourself back out there. And show that you've done some really, really good work. I haven't really followed Impact as much as I should.
It's a show that has improved. I'm still not really following it religiously. I read about it.
Right.
But remember, Scott D'Amore was the guy who was booking TNA in 2005.
Right.
And right. That was probably, that's my favorite time in Impact.
We were talking about this. Yeah, we were talking about this.
That's when Joe was carrying around the bloody towel.
Yeah.
You know, I did like Dusty Rhodes at the beginning of 05 too. I thought he did some good stuff as well.
That was when the X Division was like just doing shit that we had never seen before.
They dropped the ball on Monty Brown. He should have become champion. He should have beaten Jeff.
Yep.
Jeff Jarrett held that. He was the only thing that really kind of hurt that.
Yeah.
That run of TNA. He was Triple H in 05.
I mean, he was.
He's Triple H in 03 to 05.
He's Triple H in everything.
We'll get to Triple H one day. All right, so now let's move on to Hangman Adam Page. He basically turned tweener here. He's not going to be babyface, and it's a smart thing because people don't like him.
So in our conversation that we had off air, I literally texted you and I was like, did this just happen? Did they just turn Adam Page heel? And you're like, no, they turned tweener. I was like, yeah, but there was just something there that I was like, they're going around.
It's probably a beginning of something. I'm sure he'll probably, through this, is going to rejoin back up with the Elite. He'll probably be back with the Elite.
That'll be
because I think the Dark Order sucks. I absolutely hate the Dark Order.
Oh,
I'm just
going
to tell you right now. When people say they want Bray Wyatt to come in and join the Dark Order, I'm like, no. I want him to come in and destroy the Dark Order and create something new.
We just need to the Dark Order just needs to stop.
They have cool music. That's about it.
Right.
We'll get to John Silver in a minute. I want to bury that guy in a but anyways,
I loved this promo. There was an intensity in Hangman that we saw that we haven't seen in a bit. Like there's the whole cowboy shit gimmick, which I think is fun. When do you stop taking beers from people in the audience? You know what I mean? And drinking them.
Here's the thing that, and I talked about this with my previous, co-host, we talked about this, that, that when Austin drank beers after the match, wasn't during the match, wasn't before the match. He wasn't a drunk.
Right.
He drank after the match. He did not drink. He was serious as a laser point when it was the match.
Mm-hmm.
You did not see him, drinking in the match. It was after the match.
There were just some bombs in this promo though that were just really good. Like him calling out the fan and talking about wanting to either return his shirt to the merch stand if he hasn't burnt it already. Great bomb. Calling it, saying that he's not going to have a masturbatory Bret Hart tribute match. Good stuff.
And Punk is going to come out like next week and be like, oh, that's funny, because I was going to talk about how you're a fake cowboy.
Right.
From Virginia.
God. I think it's good. I think it's good. I think I'm not 100% impressed with Adam Page. I'm really not. I think that they played a good long game with him. And I really loved the storyline arc that they had between him and Omega. But now
Full Gear, I wanted Omega Danielson too.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to see.
Yep.
Now I realized they didn't want to bury Hangman because they had built building to this, and I appreciate that, but things had changed. When they had that match in the stadium, everyone wanted to see Omega and Danielson with the finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't give it. And he's always, he got to beat Danielson, but it still doesn't, it feels like it was pushed upon us.
I think I sent a message to you, whatever it was, a couple of weeks ago when they did the death match with Adam Cole and Adam Page. I was like, cool. Like, thanks for showing us something that's a little bit unique. And they did mention it in the interview as well, that, you know, that they're in, I don't know how much the announcers are being fed. Like, I know that we're not dealing with Vince in their headset the entire time, but like,
it's a physical facility.
my guest
at this time.
Right. But they talked about how ever since holding the title, he's improved. He's shown versatility in different match types, which I think is good. Cool. Like, they're building this guy up. He got over with the fans. He connected with the fans. I'm good.
The good news is they gave him enough of a run for it to not feel like nothing, even though it is going to feel like nothing. No one's going to remember this title run. But
right,
it's time for Punk to take the title from him, because that's
right.
He's the focal point. He's the guy. Just give him the title.
I know. The part of me just doesn't agree with having CM Punk be a world champion at this point in time. But I mean, I'm okay with it.
Like, I told you, I think the main plan is Omega and Punk at All Out. Oh, I think that's where they're. I think that's where they're going. Those two have not touched. Those two have not been mentioned in the same breath. They haven't even, he's not even been on commentary. Like, it's either him or it's Danielson.
Even just hearing Kenny Omega's name right now just makes me cry. I'm so sad for that man.
He's coming. But this is going to be great, because he needed to take time off back in New Japan.
Right.
He didn't. He fought all through that, so that AEW could get off the ground. He did the tag matches with Hangman so that they could give him kind of a rest. He needed this break. Yeah. He's going to come back. You know, he had so many problems. And it's going to be good, because now he can have the matches he once had.
Yeah.
So I am all for him taking the break that he needs to take. He's earned it. He did, you know, this is good. He can be the Omega of New Japan. But anyway, so I thought this was a good promo. Let's move on. Chris Jericho versus Santana. I really don't care about this match at all, and I really don't want to talk about it.
We don't have to talk about the match at all. I will say that now we're calling him the Wizard because he threw a fireball. Come on. Like, how many nicknames can this guy have throughout the course of his career? I'll say that.
I'm going to be honest with you. If Jericho leaves AEW, I'm not going to miss him that much.
At this point, I will say that. Yes, 100%. I will say that.
Even last year, he was annoying as crap. He's the one who's doing the segments that feel like they should be on Raw.
Okay.
The Inner Circle has a meeting.
I love him on commentary. I'll say that. I love Chris Jericho on commentary.
Sometimes he's a little too loud.
Too Vincey.
Oh my God. Stop it. It's not that great.
I will say that I think the Judas Effect is the worst finisher in wrestling right now. And then
I don't mind that one. That one I don't mind so much.
If it's sold right.
It does matter if it's sold right.
I will say there was a point when I was watching this match that I'm very We don't have fat Jericho anymore. We don't have fat, slow Jericho.
It feels like he's gaining the weight back.
It does. But like, I was looking at this guy in the ring from behind and I was like, wow, that doesn't look like the Chris Jericho that I saw 2 or 3 years ago.
Good. He's lost the weight. Yeah, I'm good. My problem
I think he's moving better.
He feels a lot like Cody. Like he doesn't belong in the world of AEW.
Yep.
He feels like he's a miscast there.
Yep. I don't know. I did love when he was doing all the shit in New Japan though. Like the
I love that. Like the Painmaker stuff.
The Painmaker stuff was gold. But yeah, this man, whatever. I don't understand Santana and Ortiz. I never really have.
I know. They kicked me out of the locker room. I should tell this story. I was at a show in Miami, and one of the guys sold me a wristband for the to go backstage.
Yeah.
So the guy just says, "Oh, just go backstage." We go backstage, and it was Santana who's like, "You can't be in here." And I'm like, I hold up my wristband. I'm like, "But we have this," and he kicks us out. And then we demanded our money back from the security guard, who I think got fired. But I got a bone to pick with you. You kicked me out of the locker room. I'm coming for you.
I don't know. I just don't. I don't get them. I don't get
them.
They're
good workers, but
they're good
not...
workers. His Cannonball Senton looks great. But whatever. Yeah, we don't even need to talk about it. Because just not.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Because we've been talking for 35 minutes about AEW.
How long is your podcast usually?
I wanted an hour, but it looks like we're going to be going a little longer. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to anything else. All right, so the next thing is the Varsity Blondes and the House of Black. I'm going to be honest with you, I was very disappointed with this. This was the time to do the turn. She needed to lift the patch up. Here's what she should have been. She should have been in that corner. They're like staring at her. And she takes the patch off. It's red. And that's all you needed. They embrace. And then they just kill Brian Pillman Jr., who just, I don't get him. He doesn't do it for me. Brian Pillman Jobber. And the other guy feels like Lenny Lane.
I don't get Lodi.
Like, Lenny Lane and Lodi.
Oh my God.
WCW. Oh. That's what they feel like.
Oh my God. Oh, they feel man.
Like Lenny Lane and Lodi.
How are you making references like this? it's gone on too long for me. Like when did this whole mist thing happen for her? Too wasn't it like
in December?
Months.
December.
Months.
December.
It's almost been 6 months. Then, come on.
And nothing.
Get it over
happened.
With. And like in like.
And then the death triangle came out and everything. You know, I don't know. This is something that I don't know. It's just undo for me. Let's move on. Rey Fénix versus Dante Martin. This was a good match, but because it was so far in the card, I just wasn't ready for that match yet.
Yeah.
I think this is what should have closed the show, and it's really good.
Rey Fénix to me is
so good.
One of the most exciting wrestlers that are performers. He's breathtaking. He's dangerous. Like, he's unpredictable. Can we call him a spot monkey? Maybe. But
he's too good to be a spot monkey.
But like, man, he's just enthralling to watch.
And he comes from Lucha Libre. That's the style.
Exactly.
That's exactly. Not Spot Monkey. It's not like he can't do anything else. That's right. The way they wrestle. And in AEW, they're not told to wrestle the AEW style.
AEW way.
They're like, yep. Wrestle your way. That's what AEW is.
I'm a huge fan of Dante Martin. This is going to make me sound superficial a little bit. Dante Martin kind of looks like a young, skinny, dark-skinned John Cena, a little bit. But I need Dante Martin to I need him to
work out.
I don't want to say get beefier. There's just something about him that I can't take serious. It's like, you know how when Marco Stunt used to like have matches, you're like, how am I going to take this guy seriously if he's
wait a minute. That's sacrilege. You cannot compare Dante Martin to Marco,
to Marco Stunt. Okay, fine.
Or as Jim Cornette would call him, Stunt Fuck.
I think the match is great. The match is was amazing.
I agree with you, mate. Well, his promos are. He's somebody that I hope joins the Blackpool Combat.
Okay,
he could get that seasoning there.
I agree with that. I think having him with somebody that can help elevate him. But put him in matches with Rey Fenix, and I'll eat that for breakfast every single day.
He's really good, but yeah, I agree. He needs to, you know, harden up a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's why I think the Blackpool Combat Club would be perfect for him. He needs to, you know, I know they don't want too many people in there because then you lose the point, but
we were having the same probably conversation about Wheeler Yuta about 6 months ago. You're like, we don't care. And then he has that match that literally maybe that's what we're waiting for with Dante Martin.
Remember, Danielson said, you know, we're going to teach the young guys. So it sounds like they want more young guys.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be like the NWO and have like 30, you know, young guys.
Right.
That would be stupid. But I think Dante Martin would be good because then he could change up his look.
Right. Right.
Give him a reason to change up his look.
Can we talk about one of my favorite things about Rey Fenix is the knee that he does before he does his driver. Like that's one of my favorite things that he does. Like this guy can jump, he can fly, he can. I don't even know what they call his.
I would love to see. I'd love to see Bandito come into. He could be the Joker Wild, the Joker card as
Bandito?
Well. Bandito, maybe. I think it's going to be Cesaro.
Didn't we say that the Joker's going against Mojo, though?
First round? It's probably going to be Cesaro. Yeah, it's going to be Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Claudio.
Great, great match. I'll watch. I think out of any performer in AEW that I go out of my way, if I didn't watch a Dynamite or a premium live event or anything of that nature, I go out of my way more to see Rey Fenix matches than anything else. So
no, he's great. Rey, oh man, so good. I mean, they got so many good guys there. All right, let's move on to what I think was the absolute worst thing, one of the worst things on this show, Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb cutting a promo where I don't believe either one of them.
Yeah.
It was not good. It felt like... This was not good. The match will be great.
The match will be great. They're both great workers. I'm just gonna go with you on that and just say no.
The less said about this event. Now we get to another thing that I just thought was awful. John Silver is gonna be facing CM Punk. Man, has he become cringeworthy and annoying.
Yes.
He's trying to do his behind the being the elite stuff. It doesn't
work. Yeah. I'm.
Oh, wait, shoot. We forgot one of the big moments that happened. The Young Bucks came out and confronted the Hardy Boys. So it looks like it's going to be the Young Bucks and the Hardys at Double or Nothing. That should be good. I mean, I don't know if it'll be as good as it was back in ROH, but it could be really good.
I worry about that match just because I kind of want that to be like a swan song for the Hardys. Like I want their last match to be against the Bucks. I want them to, I want that to be their retirement match. So like I'm not ready personally for that match to happen. If that's the route that they're going, cool, great. Or maybe they do it in a TLC. Is, you know, how they have their, maybe it builds to that. Maybe they have a 3-match series and it ends in a TLC or some weird shit. But like, I'm.
Their ladders, I'm not tables, ready. And chairs, because if they call it TLC, they'll get sued.
Yeah, exactly. they'll find some way to change that. But yeah. I like planting that seed. And I love dangling that carrot in front of our faces. However, I'm not ready for it. But that's just a personal level.
I think that's what they're doing, though.
I know.
I feel that's where they're going. All right, now we get to the main event. Mercedes Martinez versus Deonna Purrazzo. The undisputed Ring of Honor Women's World Championship in an 8-minute match, or it felt like 8 minutes, at the end of the show. This was just...
I mean,
the match is good, but it's not, nobody, why should I care?
Exactly. This is.
This was shoehorned in.
I love that we're seeing ROH on national TV. I just think that it's all very rushed and it doesn't give us, if I didn't know that Joe was the ROH television champ. Is that what he is?
Yeah, I remember he beat Suzuki.
Right, but like, I'm not really following ROH that much. Neither I know that now they're apart.
I watched the last pay per view, and that was really good. You know, you could see Tony Khan making it about like ROH back in 2005, 2004.
There, like, and I know the work rate is great and everything. But here, okay, how about this? You have, let's talk about this with these two ladies. You at least they're getting out there and showing the stuff that WWE wouldn't let them do.
Agreed. Agreed.
I'm not entirely a fan of Mercedes Martinez using a Romero special as the finish, but everything just felt rushed. But
yeah, it just doesn't do anything for me.
And like we talked about this yesterday. Like one of my favorite moves is like a nice fisherman driver. Mercedes Martinez probably has an amazing fisherman driver, not like a spun, like a key crusher one, but just like a regular old like fisherman driver that she used to use as her finisher, and it was a transitional move for me. So that kind of broke my heart a little bit, but that's just on a personal.
So anyways. I thought this was a show that started off really good. The first hour is much better than the second hour, mm-hmm. But it's still very good. Much better than Raw, much better than SmackDown.
Oh my God, I can't even. But yes, I completely agree in that nature.
Let's see. You go.
Talk to me. I was going to say, where do we want to go next? But like, any show that can have a match like Rey Fénix, Dante Martin in the middle of it, that's going to elevate your show.
I wanted to ask you this, you know, because nobody knows what this guy's doing other than making movies. Where does Bray Wyatt end up?
Nowhere. I think the ship has sailed. Like, I think the ship has sailed. Really.
Here's the thing with Bray Wyatt. I feel like he's so creative that he can reinvent him. I mean, he came up with two main event characters and they got screwed up, not because of him, but because of the company.
I say that as an in-ring performer, he is, I don't care. I think his ship has sailed as an in-ring performer. Make him a mouthpiece, make him a storyteller, make him a trainer, make him, bring him back to NXT to teach people how to give promos, like make him here's, that.
Here's what you could do for him, because if he changes up his style, and he has, because look, he's been handcuffed by the WWE style.
True.
If he is allowed to do more of what he does,
we don't even know what kind of worker he is. Like, let's be real.
No, we really don't. We don't really know.
He could be a shit worker. We don't know. Yeah. Or he could, like, he's agile. He's flexible.
Something tells me he's not a bad worker because he really likes, I've read interviews, like he's watching New Japan. He likes Shinsuke Nakamura. A lot of what I feel has hurt him is the company told him how to wrestle. Mm-hmm. And that's how he's been forced. I think he's somebody like a Danielson where like, you'll just be like, oh, wow, I didn't know. I think he could be a Bruiser Brody style of like, I think he would be more like Moxley.
So let's have him show up in New Japan then. Like, I say keep him out of the American eye for a little bit. And I know that New Japan is becoming a lot more visible over here than it has. But I say keep him out of the American eye and let him go to New Japan. Let him work next to like
because Suzuki. Let's be honest.
Let's watch him and Suzuki beat the shit out of each other and see what happens there. You know what I mean? Like let's have him and I don't think pairing him up with somebody like Tanahashi is a good idea because Tanahashi's so old and broken at this point. He's not old and broken. He's still doing good
Remember what happened when Moxley finally got out of there and he had his first match in New Japan.
Yep.
That's what we would say with Wyatt.
I think so. I think that that's a good case.
I think what he would do is maybe have like half the mask of the Fiend, something like that. And then have him like be like a hybrid of all of them. But without the stupid shit.
Yeah, like no supernatural bullshit. Like why are we still doing that in this day and age? Yeah. But man, I loved that mask though. I know that you hated it.
Yeah, that's why I say keep. Wait, no, I like the mask.
Oh, you did like the mask.
I love the mask. Okay. Oh, I loved it. I was so cool. That's why I'm saying he's too creative.
Yep.
To just put him. Somebody did an interview and they said they were talking to him like right after like the Hell in a Cell thing. And this was like in the gym. I mean, it's not like really reported as thing. And he said to him, yeah, they're already screwing it up. So he even knew that they were already screwing up what he created.
And
like he had come up with something that was really good. And if it just like, left it alone, it would have been fine.
Let's talk about why I think he would do well in New Japan then is because New Japan is notorious for playing a long game as well. Like New Japan builds stories. Like they build stories for years and years and years sometimes for a payoff. Like Bray Wyatt was building his promos. You've read the reports. We've all read the reports that he was dropping nuggets of something in promos for years.
Well, that's how I would do what I would do. If you bring him to AEW, I would have those subtle hints so that you build up that fever pitch when people are like, when he shows up. I wouldn't have him be like this, just he shows up out of nowhere. I would have him be like a, like Jericho did with, or Punk when they had you have all the hints, you know, it's going to be him, but you don't know when.
Are you talking like Jericho, like Y2J Jericho, or like
both Y2J Jericho and when he came back the second time and they had all the hints, but they waited 50. That was another thing where WWE waited forever to finally debut him. And it was like, why didn't you just debut him at? Because remember, there was the No Mercy where Cena got hurt and everybody thought he was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
And he didn't show up there.
Yeah,
and they didn't bring him back till the fucking the day after Survivor Series, I think it was. It was stupid because they said the reports were, well, everybody knows it's him.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Oh.
So bring him out there. I mean, they did the same thing with one of the good things that Vince does really well, and AEW would be smart to listen to this, is Miz talked about this. He did an interview and he said that when he came out as The Rock, you know, mm-hmm. Vince is like at the Gorilla and he says, don't go out yet. And he waits till the crowd like kind of dies down before he comes out.
Yep.
And you can see that when Cody came out. What do they do first? First, the fireworks hit.
Yep.
You wait. And then the lights go down. We wait.
Yep.
Then he plays that little bit of music. Then the lights come up. It's Cody. That and those things like that are what he does really well. Vince does.
You're gonna get me down a rabbit hole here, but if it's going to be, I want wherever Bray ends up to not get leaked. I think I think. Everybody already knew what was going on with Cody. Everybody knew. It was the worst kept mystery opponent ever. Like, here's the deal. We don't know who the Joker is going to be.
Yeah, but I wouldn't debut him in a match. You know,
he
could be.
Right.
If you're going to debut him, he needs to be like at the pay-per-view. At like Double or Nothing.
But it's a genuine surprise. We don't know who the Joker is going to be. That's how I want Bray. I don't want, I'm not saying Bray's going to be the Joker. I'm just saying let him show up like that. Like let him, I don't want to know. I don't want to look at a report tomorrow and say, we've seen Bray here. This is where he should, or Wyndham. We've seen
Wyndham. So you kind of want to debut him like they did Sting.
Let's have a buildup. Let's have a mystery buildup. But like, I don't want to know. Just show up somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. Last biggest surprise ever. Biggest surprise was Hardy Boys WrestleMania.
Yeah.
No one knew.
A lot of people, everybody thought that was going to be, I thought it was going to be, you know, the, what do you call them? The host there. What were their names?
Yeah,
what do they call them? 3M, not 3MB, the New Day. I thought it was going to be the New Day.
Right.
And then it was the Hardys.
And so that's what I want. I want a shock moment like that. Like, I want to not know that he is going to show up wherever he's going to show up next. So
interesting.
There's my 15 minute dissertation on Bray Wyatt.
Sting was a good surprise. Yeah. No one knew that was coming.
Yeah, no one knew.
You knew something was coming, but you didn't know that.
Yeah. That was
one of their best shows, because that was the show where they changed the title. Kenny got the title, and they did Sting coming out. That was good stuff.
Mentioning Kenny again, it just makes me sad.
And then we had, and then you had, well, everybody knew Danielson was coming.
Yeah.
We didn't know, and we, we kind of knew that one too.
Yeah, we need that one.
Everyone knew it was Punk and the United Center.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
As soon as they said the United Center, everyone's like,
okay. It's him.
But that was a good surprise, because I mean, like, that was. I mean, was it? Well, it's the worst kept secret.
Yeah. I miss worst kept secrets. Like, or I hate worst kept secrets. I miss, like, the days when, like, even Edge returning at the Royal Rumble, as secret as they tried to keep.
Well, we knew that was coming. People kind of.
We all knew it was coming.
We knew Jericho was coming in 99. In 99, there's reports that he was coming in there.
I didn't.
Really? I was sitting with a friend, and he was like, it's going to be Jericho. It's like, what? Because he was like already on the internet and shit. And you can even hear the crowd. If you listen really carefully on that Raw, when the lights go down, you could hear them going, Jericho, Jericho. He got so screwed when Vince Russo left. Because Vince Russo was the guy that wanted him in WWF at that time. And when he left, there was nobody to protect him. And he got, that's why it took so long for him. Because Jericho should have been like a top guy coming right in.
Yeah.
He should not have been in any preliminary crap. He should have been right in there. His feud should have been with The Rock right off the bat.
Yeah.
And he should have beaten The Rock. And that should have been the thing they built to. People always talk so great about. What were you saying?
Do you think The Rock's gonna come back for his match, or do you think he's done?
I don't know. I thought if you were gonna have The Rock come back, you would have him come in at the end of that WrestleMania, and then confront him. I mean, because he's a heel, winning the top championship, I would have had Rock come out, and they didn't have that. And Paul Heyman says, but then you would know for the whole year, and it'd be like. Yeah, but you know, you're still doing the same carrot of like, is Roman gonna? Nobody thinks Roman's gonna lose till he gets to Rock. I mean, I would like to see Cody win, but I don't know.
I would love to see Cody
win. I don't have any faith in this company.
I know. I don't either.
They don't get it. So that's it for AEW, and I think that about does it for the show. We talked about AEW Rampage, AEW Dynamite, and anything else to say?
Not really. I really enjoy this. I feel like we could have a 7-hour long podcast of us just
this is good.
Bullshitting about all this stuff. But yeah, I love talking about that. So,
well, you can find us at the Kings Road podcast, and the truth shall set you free.